You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The past few years have brought change after change for students in Albion. For years, they saw friends and neighbors hop on buses from other districts every morning. School after school closed. The number of students kept shrinking. And last year, residents of Albion voted to have Marshall Public Schools take over their district. So what has this meant for students and families who live in Albion? Michigan Radio's April Van Buren is trying to answer that question over the next few days in Undivided, a special three-part series.
Mornings start early at Wanda Kemp's house. It's 5:45, and she is already in the kitchen working on tonight's dinner. There's a crock pot on the counter with black-eyed peas that have been simmering all night. An alarm is going off in the room where her two kids are sleeping.
And I think my first one just hit the floor.
Her 8-year-old son, Zaire, comes out first.
Oh, different first one. Good morning.
And then her 14-year-old daughter, Zariah.
That's the one I was expecting.
Good morning, Zariah.
As his sister gets ready for school, Zaire crawls back into bed and turns on the TV. He switches the channel to Nickelodeon. It is one of his favorite shows, Henry Danger.
It's about this little boy being the super psychic.
As you might imagine, a kid who has psychic superpowers is a lot more interesting than a reporter's questions, especially when it's 6 a.m. and you're 8 years old. Zaire doesn't have to be at school for almost 3 hours. And he isn't really a morning person, but he gets up early every day so he can ride with his sister to her bus stop. The street lights are still on when Wanda pulls her black SUV out of the garage. The kids are quiet and sleepy in the back seat. Zaire is still in his plaid pajama pants. Wanda drives a couple minutes down the road. She pulls up to the bus stop and puts the car in park. They have a few minutes to wait before the bus shows up at 6:15. The whole family folds their hands and closes their eyes, and 14-year-old Zariah starts to pray.
Thank you for all the things that you're going to do for us today.
Zariah asks for her mom to get through the workday. She asks God to keep her mind open to learning and to keep her and her little brother safe. 5 years ago, Zariah could have rolled out of bed and walked to school in less than 10 minutes. You can actually see the old Albion High School from her front yard. But now, she goes to Marshall High School, a 45-minute bus ride away.
God, I ask that as we enter the school doors, you will open our minds up and you will let us be able to go in there and prove to everybody that we are smarter than most people think we are. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I'm April Van Buren, and this is Undivided, a special series from Michigan Radio. In Michigan and across the country, school districts are becoming more segregated, both by race and income. That makes Albion and Marshall's story unique. Students in Albion used to attend an almost entirely low-income, majority African-American district. But last year, Albion residents voted to have Marshall annex, or take over, their schools. Now middle and high school students get bused into Marshall. It's a mostly white, middle-class city about 13 miles down the highway. A lot of education researchers will tell you, when kids go to an integrated school, everyone benefits. But parents in Albion were promised they'd still have a school in their city after annexation. That school is Harrington Elementary, where Zaire is in third grade. There are no buses that shuttle the district's youngest students from Marshall to Albion, which means Harrington remains a school with students who are mostly kids of color and who are almost entirely low income. For those students, the first year as part of Marshall Public Schools was not an easy adjustment. The students at Harrington Elementary are happy to tell you what they love about their school. Recess comes up a lot, and so does lunch.
Hello, world. My name is Ty, and I am 11 years old.
For Ty Walker, it's getting to be a helper.
I am in fifth grade, and I help little kids like the second graders, so that's why I'm out here right now with second graders. And whatever we do is usually a lot of fun.
Ty says he likes feeling like a role model. But there is one thing Ty doesn't like about his school.
That people fight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like they yell at each other, they physically fight.
Mm-hmm. Like.
He punches his fists together. Ty wasn't the only student who told me fighting and bullying were problems at Harrington last year. Plenty of parents I talked to felt that way too. But many also had serious concerns about the way the school dealt with students who were acting up, including Zaire's mom, Wanda Kemp.
At the age of kindergarten through third grade, what is children doing that bad that you're kicking them out of school, that they're being suspended and sent home from school?
There were a lot of students being sent home. Harrington Elementary had a little over 260 students last year. It had more than 160 out-of-school suspensions. Let me repeat that. More than 160 suspensions in an elementary school with 260 students. That is much higher than Marshall's other three elementary schools. Wanda's son, Zaire, racked up so many suspensions, she started getting letters from the state.
And I would get letters telling me, oh, your son has missed so many days out of school.
They said she could face truancy charges for Zaire's absences. So Kemp called the principal at Harrington.
And I said, look, do not send another letter to my house talking about how many days my son has missed out of school. When he's missing days because I'm not sending him, I will accept that. But because you're sending him home, do not send me another letter telling me how many days he has missed out of school.
At home, Zaire is a smiley and energetic 8-year-old. He likes reading. Right now, it's the Diary of a Wimpy Kid series. His favorite food is McDonald's.
Cheeseburger and fries.
What Zaire really loves, though, is basketball. He spends recess on the basketball court at school. And when he's at home, he plays NBA video games with his 4-year-old nephew, Zachariah.
I'm not playing defense.
You can play offense.
Oh, yeah. Kyrie sucks.
But when I asked Zaire what his favorite thing about school was last year, this is how he answers.
Really nothing.
He says getting sent home all the time made him mad.
Because I felt like I got in trouble by other kids.
Zaire, like around 2/3 of the kids at his school, is Black. And there are lots of data that shows school discipline has a disproportionate impact on kids of color. Black students are nearly 4 times more likely than white peers to get suspended. They're twice as likely to be expelled. That context wasn't lost on Wanda Kemp. She remembers reading an Ebony article about the so-called discipline gap.
And they were just saying how the way they suspend the kids, K through third, I think she had said, is setting them up for failure. You're prepping our children for the system. I don't want to see my son in the system when he's older.
During the 2013 school year, Albion Public Schools suspended 17 kids. That's across the entire district, kindergarten all the way through 8th grade. Now, compare that to last year at Harrington, which again had 160 out-of-school suspensions. So, what changed? Wanda Kemp says it comes down to one thing: relationships.
Are you taking the time to establish a relationship and get to know a person? Because a person can have a bad day, a bad week, can even have a bad month. But does that mean that's that person?
Around half of the teachers from Albion were rehired to work at Harrington last fall. Third grade teacher Deb Seeley was one of them. She's been teaching in Albion for more than 20 years, And she told me when Marshall took over, there were some really big improvements. In the final year of Albion Public Schools, Celia had a class of 32 students and was all on her own. Last year at Harrington, she got part-time support from a classroom aide.
And I only have 21 students. So it's just wonderful.
But Celia told me it was still a rough adjustment. They weren't fully staffed when Harrington opened. 4 teachers left after the school year started. The district struggled to find long-term substitutes.
And I don't think the administration understood how much support we need with our kids that are at risk. And it's been kind of an upstream, uphill battle trying to get things in place.
Teachers weren't the only ones who were frustrated with the way things were going.
It's just this year, I feel like it's just been changes after changes. And until we get a steady staff the kids are used to, then it's not going to get better. We need to have a steady staff on hand here.
That's Katie Burton. Her daughter Layla was just finishing up 3rd grade when we talked at a school picnic last June. Burton says all these changes in staff created a toxic culture at the school.
Bullying is very, very bad at this school.
When she tried to address it with administration, she got a lackluster response. Burton told me she is happy Layla can go to her neighborhood school. But she also said things have to be better at Harrington this year. Randy Davis says they will be.
There's a commitment of moving forward in a new way, with new philosophies, with really great support.
Davis is superintendent of Marshall Public Schools, and he says he understands the frustration about school culture last year.
If parents were feeling stressed out about that, I'd say, I'm with you. I was stressed out about it.
And Davis acknowledges there were, in his words, a grossly disproportionate number of suspensions. He says that is not the kind of school he wants Harrington to be.
Out-of-school suspensions for elementary students don't do an awful lot of good. You know, the idea is how do you keep them in the buildings and teach them how to relate to each other, engage with each other.
Davis says Marshall is committed to doing things differently. Which is why in May, with less than a month of school left, Davis fired Harrington's principal and brought in Dave Turner to steady the ship.
Well, candidly, it was a little crazy. A lot of systems were not necessarily in place, structures. If this happens, how do we handle that?
Turner was the principal at Marshall Middle School. And more than one person told me, he is exactly the kind of person you want in charge of a transition like this one. Turner told me he understood why kids at Harrington were having a tough time.
You have some students that have had 3 teachers this year. Well, you look at me. Here I am 17 days or 14 days so far in this building, and I'm new to them.
Those constant changes made it hard for kids to build relationships with the staff. And when kids don't trust or feel connected to someone, they're more likely to act out. But Turner said, it's not like that is an impossible problem to solve.
It's not rocket science. We just have to focus on behaviors and relationships, and I think we'll be okay.
Turner didn't have a lot of time, but he managed to make some real changes. He rearranged lunch and recess schedules to have more adults on hand. When teachers needed help with a student, Turner was there.
I told teachers, look, here's my number. Text me, call me if you need me.
He greeted kids as they got off the bus. He joked around with them. And Turner made himself available to parents, too.
We have to find a way to support those parents that need the help, too. Because I'm finding that the kids that are in trauma, or the kids that are struggling, their parents are in some way struggling, too.
When Turner took over, suspensions went way down. In the first 16 days of May, there were 30 out-of-school suspensions at Harrington. In the last few weeks of school, after Turner took over, there were just 5. A lot of parents I talked to felt encouraged by the way the year ended. But this year, there are more changes in store for Harrington families. Dave Turner, the one who made all those changes, he is back at the middle school. And Harrington, again, has a new principal. His name is Robert Giles, and it's up to him to convince people the school can turn it around.
I have to have these babies learn me. Trust me. Have some confidence in me. Love me.
This year, Harrington has a new leader. It has a new approach to discipline and more teacher training and family supports.
And I think that their parents, once they see a more inclusive environment, a more cooperative environment, even if they hate the annexation, they'll see a benefit of what's going on with their children here.
Ultimately, Marshall Public Schools has the same challenge Albion did. Convince parents to keep their kids in the local school. Parents like Katie Burton, who says if this year isn't different, she'll be looking for another district for her daughter.
I'm going to give it again a half a year until open enrollment, and if everything's fine by then she'll stay here.
Marshall needs Burton and parents like her to choose their neighborhood school. Because if Harrington loses too many students, eventually there might not be a neighborhood school left to choose. I'm April Van Buren, and this is Undivided from Michigan Radio.
The Marshall School District is making some big changes and big promises this year, and we will get to what those are later in this series. But first, 15 years ago, Albion Schools had more than 1,800 K-12 students. Now it has fewer than 250 kids in one elementary school run by another district. So how did this happen?
We talk about Inkster, who's not here now. We talk about Buena Vista. They're not here. I was determined not to let Albion be the third minority district in this state that just fell off the face of the earth.
Tune in tomorrow for part two of Undivided, a special stateside series right here on Michigan Radio.